in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow.
You might have to see some people you don't want to see.
Hey, what are you doing?
See, McCoy has come out this time. Normally, Goodrich could come and get it. You know they're going to try to run backdoor play if they can get it.
Under 10, backdoor.
There's that back door. Send it in. Wow.
Their only lead, the Timberwolves tonight, was a 2-0, trying to win it here. Love.
Got it.
Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Is that great basketball or what?
This is the Backdoor Cut Basketball segment. KFAN.com. Saturdays with Sauce Page. 1600 Utica Avenue, Southeast, St. Louis Park, Minnesota, on this sweltering, steamy day in the great north. Farther north than me is a man that has once again decided to come back to one place he was proud to call his home. Now he just calls a place to squat for 30 minutes a week. Brett Cloutier.
It was nice being back in the confines of Vikings production studio at 1600 Utica last weekend, but unfortunately for you, and for myself, I am back in the Bremer Lakes area at my summer home, I'll call it, my summer home.
You could have come down. Nothing would stop you from coming down.
Living the dream another one more day at a time.
Nothing stopped you from coming down this week. You could have come
that's
down.
A good point.
You could have. Why are you up there instead of here?
Gas mileage.
So I'm worth $3 a gallon to you, basically. Nothing more.
Nothing less.
Nothing less. Nothing more,
nothing
for sure.
Nothing more, nothing less. Nothing more.
Vector Cut was joined by Justin Gard for the Variety Hour. We talked MLB trade deadline. We talked Olympics. And we just had the chance to see Brett Cloutier. Another Olympic victory. And that's where we're going to start with what could only be described as one of the best weeks in Minnesota basketball that didn't have to do with first-round playoff eliminations, Kareem Rush hitting 6 threes in the conference finals, scandals at the college level, and horrendously good choices, I suppose, by soon-to-be Apple Valley juniors, that being Tyus Jones, to go somewhere else. We're going to start with the Olympics.
1, 2, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3.
Kicks it out to Rubio for 3.
3-3-3.
Long. Way three. Outside for the three.
He's got it.
Three.
He got it.
Three.
It's
good. Three.
Kobe's got to go. The three.
Got it.
3-3-3-3.
It's a three-pointer in the backdoor cut. Three. And our three-pointer is very simple here, Brett Cloutier. On this day, you have three Olympic performances, and luckily for us, Mr. Cloutier, they were three performances by Minnesota Timberwolves. Number three for me is Andre Kirilenko going 35 points.
Yep.
On 14 of 17 shooting.
Yep.
And then the next game against China, 16 points, 9 rebounds, showing he can do it all. He's back, and what is he doing? What did he say he's doing? He's running like a young deer. And Andre Kirilenko, newest signing by the Minnesota Timberwolves, 2 years, $20 million, tearing the Olympics up.
He's the epitome of what a small forward is supposed to be in the NBA game.
Yes.
He moves without the basketball. He cuts hard. He's athletic. He gets rebounds. He can create his own shot. He can do a little bit of everything. And for those fantasy owners that had him back in the heyday with the Utah Jazz, they knew he could do a little bit of everything. He plays defense. He can guard the ball. He rotates well. The guy can do everything well. He's not great at anything, but he can do everything well.
Did you hear what else happened in Minnesota basketball?
Why don't you entertain me?
I'm going to go ahead and take a little sidetrack on the three-pointer.
Sure.
Nicholas Batum, when the U.S., which had tramps of its own against France, as we'll get to in our number two, played France. Nicholas Batum was strangely silent in that game. Didn't do a whole lot to change the outcome of the game. Coach was rather disappointed. He sat most of the fourth quarter because the game was out of reach. And, well, Nicholas went ahead and said, the circumstances weren't quite right for me. Friday with the opening ceremonies, I'm not used to standing on my feet that much.
Wow.
A professional athlete goes with, I'm not used to standing on my feet that much. That's why I wasn't very good against the U.S. And then goes with the U.S. is beatable. What? What are you talking about? You didn't do anything.
No, Mike, I know you do. You spend a lot of time at Brothers in downtown.
Yeah.
But I'm sure on Friday night,
oh, yeah,
you were watching the opening ceremonies, correct?
I was at a bar, yes.
Did you see when the United States walked out?
I did not.
Well, I did. And you know what, like, 12 guys were in that group of 500-something United States athletes walking out of that opening ceremony?
I guess the basketball team, I guess.
The men's basketball team that stood around just as long as Nicholas Batum did two nights previous.
Yeah.
The excuse doesn't hold me merit. You did exactly what they did. You got beat. It prompted, my God, Bill Simmons, ESPN.com, Grantland's Bill Simmons, to tweet, I just told the guy sitting next to me that number 5 just signed for $46 million. He passed out.
Oh, God.
I could not be more giddy that we do not have Nicholas Batum playing for the Minnesota Timberwolves next season.
Remember when we were on the Batum? I mean, we're never super on the Batum bandwagon, but we were like, you know what? This will be a small forward that come in. It'll be a piece, score 13, 14 points a game, play some solid defense, fill a role and need for this team. You know what you have to do a lot of in Minnesota? Trudging through the snow. Because it snows a lot here. And being on your feet, like, okay, for instance, you mentioned, you know, I tend to go to the bar on Fridays and Saturdays.
Sure.
And being in a crowded bar, what are you going to have to do a lot of?
You got to stand around.
You got to stand. My feet aren't sore. I'd be more than happy to go out and play basketball for France. My feet are not nearly as sore after 4 or 5 hours as Nicholas Batum claims. Oh, I haven't had to stand that long. You really never had to stand 4 or 5 hours in your life? He's like, I know you're, okay, you're 6'8", you're like 230, you're a professional athlete, I get it. But if you can't stand in a spot, multiple spots, stand for 45 hours, what are you doing running up and down the court for 48 minutes playing against other professional athletes on a hardwood court? You don't belong in the same sentence as anyone on the U.S. team that, like you said, Brett Cloutier, stood around and still managed to come out and dominate France.
What would have been his next excuse for the Timberwolves when he has a broken nose and has to wear the face mask from Ricky Rubio chest pants hitting into the nose? I'm not used to guys passing like that. You got to get used to it. You got to adjust to professional athletes. And for those of you six who like listening to our basketball segment on bringingthenews.com or our Meat Sauce's page or on our Facebook page or on our Twitter, you'll say, oh, Mike and Brett, you guys are loving Nicholas Batum. Well, we didn't love it. We weren't, like, sitting in reserve seating on the bandwagon. We had general admission seating, correct? We first, you know, first come, first serve, standing room only. We like Nicholas Batum, but the prophet, that is Kevin Love, as David Kahn referred to him as, the assistant general manager, obviously was not happy about Nicholas Batum potentially getting $46 million out of the pocket of Glenn Taylor. He spoke up against it. We go, why, Kevin? We're trying to bring good players around you. He goes to Portland. Now we're all relishing in the glory of Nicholas Batum sucking for France against the United States.
Speaking of Kevin Love,
number two
is Kevin Love. 14 points in 14 minutes in said game against France. And then today, Brett Cloutier, in a game that just ended, Kevin Love leads the U.S. in scoring. And you're sitting here saying, well, LeBron James, what do you mean? Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah. Well, Kevin Durant,
James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Kobe Bryant. You know, you go down the list. Well, what do you think of Kevin Love now? He could say whatever he wants about our team and whatever, as long as he's going out and leading the U.S. and scoring 16 points in a 47-point domination of Tunisia, the United Arab Emirates, or Turkey, or whoever we played.
And it
wasn't as close as that. I think we were up by like 11 at the half, and then we came out in the second half and said,
got him!
And dropped like 100 points on him, and won, I think, 110 to 63 or something like that. Kevin Love is impressing the pants off everybody at the Olympics. ESPN.com, four-letter network, front page, Kevin Love. It's ESPN, or excuse me, NBC
Our
Olympics,
guy.
When they're giving camera time to people, when there's a timeout, when there's a stop in the action, they're zooming in on Kevin Love. Tell me about his knee injury. You and me were both worried for a second.
We were literally taping our variety segment as Kevin Love comes out with a little knee injury in a meaningless Olympic preliminary round game against Tennessee.
Up by 30.
The gutsy player that Kevin Love is. He comes back. He bounces back, leads his team to victory by 47 points, leads the team with 16 points. Now, granted, Kevin Durant, Kobe Bryant, the elite players, the top players, the LeBron Jameses, they were sitting on the bench for almost all of the second half, so Kevin Love was getting a lot of run, hence a lot of points. But, hey, let's give our guys some credit. It's not every day that a Minnesota Timberwolves is on top of the basketball world.
This is the Backdoor Cut, a meat sauce production.
BringMeTheNews.com as well, at SportsMN or at BringMN is where you can find this podcast. Thanks to Meat Sauce for hosting us on the Saturdays of Sauce page on air section of KFAN.com.
Three.
Number three, or I guess we're counting down, it would be
one.
Alexi Shved, my good sir, is everything we hoped of and more. 16 points. 13 assists, 6 rebounds,
yeah,
and 3 steals in Russia's first game. It's they were doing it on Bumper to Bumper the other day when I was interning from Russia with Love.
Volunteering.
The Shved. I don't even know. I can't come up with good nicknames, but Shved and Kirilenko are tearing up the Olympics. And look at the stat line. I mean, who is this? Is this Steve Nash? Is this Larry Bird? Is it the Russian Bird? I mean, is this what's happening? Have we forgotten about Rubio? The only thing that would be better than these three dominating the Olympics the way they are, and Shved today put up 14 more points in the win over China. Yep. The only thing that would be better is Rubio is healthy and dishing it out to all the Spanish greatness of the Gasols, of the Ibakas, of, hell, the Juan Carlos Ferraros from back in the day. I mean, it's been just glorious. And what the knock on, one of the knocks on Shved was, well, we don't really know if he's a complete point guard. We don't know if he really can play the point. I mean, he's 6'6". He might as well play shooting guard. Looks to me like the best thing he does is pass.
Sorry, you cut out there for a second. I was too busy picking up my ice bag as I sprained my ankle while I jumped on the Alexi Shved bandwagon
nice.
Really this morning.
Nice.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry about that. But, yeah, Alexi Shved, like, maybe a little Manu Ginobili in his game. And I'm not, you know, we were kind of being a little bit with Kevin Love at number two, but what is Alexi Shved's ceiling? Now I get it. It's the Olympics. He played China. He played Great Britain. Really, all they have is Lou Alding on their team. Still the host country. Still somewhat of an atmosphere. I mean, they're the host country. They're going to have fans there. You can take a lot. Well, we talked last week about the Summer League when I was in the studio with you at, you know, in St. Louis Park.
One of the rare times.
My one time I came this summer. We talked about the Summer League and what you really can't put a lot of faith in it. You just take the reps for what they are and you move on. The Olympics is a little different. It's a little more organized, a little more structured basketball. Now, the level of competition isn't great, but you can take a lot more from these Olympic competitions than any Summer League game Alexi Shved could have played in. I love his game, his athleticism, his ball handling, his Ricky Rubio-ness. I mean, he got pulled today from throwing a bounce pass between the legs and the fast break. He's willing to make the highlight pass. I mean, he's a little better shooter than Ricky Rubio. Obviously, he's not going to be the true point guard.
You're
Rubio
saying he's going to be better than Rubio? I'm cutting that up.
I'm drinking the Alexi Shved Kool-Aid. The Shved soda. We got to think of something better than that.
I know.
Shved soda is what I'm going with now. But he's not going to be Ricky Rubio. He's not going to be a Manu Ginobili. But I'll tell you this. You know how much money Alexi Shved's making this year?
A lot less than
$3.017 million.
3 years, $10 million. Yeah, 3 years,
or
$10 million.
Or as it's called in the biz, highway robbery. Alexi Shved. No, granted, I heard David Kahn in an interview today.
Rookie of the year.
On a network saying that, you know, Alexi Shved and Andrei Kirilenko said this as well about Alexi Shved, a guy he played with this past season in Russia, was that it's going to take some time for him to get used to the NBA game, and that's going to happen. It could be a year like David Kahn referred to with Nikola Pekovic, or it could be a preseason like it was with Ricky Rubio, or somewhere in between. But there's going to be a timetable for Alexi Shved to figure out the NBA game. But it appears if for 2 days and two Olympic games, he's kind of got to figure out he's going to be at least a serviceable backup for this 2012-13 Minnesota Timberwolves.
Well, we were all saying, well, 6'6", you know, 190, and we're not sure if he can, you know, that height obviously lends itself to being a shooting guard. And plus, we got Rubio and everything. But now that Rubio obviously isn't going to be back till January, February, whatever the timetable is, it's going to be a few months without him. Do you start to think of maybe, well, maybe just having Schved on the offensive side do the ball handling, but run the point, then maybe start Ridenour at the two, and then the defensive side of the ball, switch it up and have Ridenour guard the point. Not that either of them are particularly good defenders, but at least height-wise they'd match up. Do you think of something with that? Do you start getting creative with Alexis Schved to try and get him in the lineup? And obviously, the points that we've made still do hold up. Roy, you can't start right away. In his introductory press conference today, he said, I want to play 35 minutes a game. I'm super pumped to be here, but I know I got to be smart, and I can't lose any more cartilage. So I got to watch out and make sure the bones don't start disintegrating as well. So it's not good. Roy probably not going to start. Look at the options at point guard. You know what you're getting in Bure and Ridenour. They both have their ups and downs. Schved maybe could fill in one of those roles and be like, hey, have Ridenour, who's obviously more on as far as game goes, a shooting guard. And Schved, if he is that good of a passer, test him out, see what he's got until Rubio comes back, and then make moves from there.
Well, let me jump in. If Rick Adelman wasn't going to start Ricky Rubio as a starting point guard to begin the season, he's not going to start Alexis Schved. Now, regret. How about this? How about the
don't shatter the dreams.
Is? You know how elixir is used for medical purposes? How about the elixir? Maybe? We getting there? Okay. Anyways, I digress. Boy. But he's going to come off the bench. He's going to maybe not even play right away in some games, depending on how he does in training camp. He's going to have to earn his minutes like everyone else. You got Chase Budinger. You have Brandon Roy. You have Luke Ridenour, J.J. Brad. You have a lot of these guys who can play the off-guard position who are going to be competing for a lot of playing. You only can play so many guys. And this team, well, not necessarily a for-sure playoff contender. They're at least a fringe playoff contender, even without Ricky Rubio. So they're going to start Luke Ridenour at the point guard position to start the season. But the way Schved's played in the Olympics, it's at least worth the talk they're in. I think he's really kind of making a name for himself. I think it was Doug Collins, who was doing the color commentary for the game.
Brilliant.
Was speaking very high of Alexis Schved today as I was watching the Argentina-France game, talking about how Minnesota got a great sign with him. So his name's getting out there. He's playing well on a big stage, and it's only going to help him. It's only going to get him good experience. Now, he's going to go against the Spain. He's going to go against the French. He's going to go against the Argentinians. He's going to go against some of these. He may even go against the United States in the gold medal game. He's going to go against really good competition here, and he's going to really have some kind of gut check time. We saw Ricky Rubio when he was 17 years old, almost out-playing Chris Paul in 2008 in the Beijing game. He really made a name for himself in those games, and then the next year was drafted number 5 overall by our Minnesota Timberwolves. We'll see what's said. Great Britain and China, decent teams. He's going to play a lot tougher competition here in the weeks to come.
That's what I'm saying. When Rubio was coming up, what did he make his name off of? Oh, a couple Olympic games. No one else really knew too much. All I'm saying, we got Alexis Schved at the right time. Otherwise, his stock would be skyrocketing, and he might be a top 10 or 15 pick next year, but we snatched him before they could get him. Let's move on. We're going to do something a little fun here, Brett. And I kind of joke around saying, it's the offseason. We really got to fill some time. Not a lot to talk about. Well, we did just kill 20 minutes on Olympic basketball, and we will probably kill
Alexis Schved is going to be the second coming of Manu Ginobili. Our show wrote itself the last 2 days.
And so we do have to kill time, but this is the best possible way to do so. And I started thinking, what are we going to do on the show this week? It's the middle of the offseason. Free agency is pretty much over. Carl Landry finally signed somewhere, so there's like nobody in the top 40 free agents with Golden State. So there's nobody in the top 40 free agents left except maybe Delonte West, and he's lucky if he can make it to the season the trouble he gets in off the court. So free agency, the draft, they've all kind of wrapped up. Olympic basketball we can talk about, and we did, but we can't just do a whole show on Olympic basketball. It's just not going to work. So it kind of ties in with Kevin Love, and I'll get to why at the end. But this is going to be a bracket. You know how we love bracket with meat sauce. When we did the food versus babes bracket, one of the better bits we've done on this show, if I do say so myself. And now we're going to bring one back to sports. We did back in the day, Brett. We did what was the thing we do? The 3-pointer now. What was the top five list? We did our top five list back in the old days. And so we like lists. We like brackets. We like things that are competitive. And so this is going to be a bracket of Minnesota Timberwolves' best individual seasons for, like we said, an individual. So a player. We're ranking them 1 to 16, and yes, there is a play-in game. And we're going to have you, Brett Cloutier, you being the analyst, me just being the one that pushes the buttons, break this down and come up with one champion. Yeah, are you following me, or is this way over your head?
I'm with you 100% of the way.
I don't know if I believe you, but maybe I can bring in a Ren, and he'll understand what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, good one.
Number one, and the number one seed, I think, is pretty unanimous. There's only been one Minnesota Timberwolf that has won an MVP award. He is Kevin Garnett, and the 2003-2004 season he put up is the number one seed. 24-13, 5 assists, 2 blocks, 1.5 steals, 50% from the field on a team that went 58-24. He's your number one seed, and he will face the winner of a play-in game pitting Zerbiak versus Zerbiak. The number 16 seed, Wally Zerbiak in 05-06, 20 points a game, 5 boards, 3 assists, 40% from beyond the arc. Keep in mind, though, he only played 40 games that season before he was traded to Boston. He's pitting himself against himself. 19 points, 3 assists, 45% from 3 in his All-Star season of 2001-2002. That team went 50-32. The stats are better for the 05-06 season, Brett Cloutier. The All-Star year, you can count on, well, count the number of people on one hand who have been All-Stars for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and Wally Zerbiak's one of them. Are you taking in this play-in game, 05-06 season, where he dropped 20 a game in 40 games, or are you taking the Wally that was an All-Star putting up 19 a game in a 50-32 season for the Wolves?
I'm going with All-Star Wally Zerbiak. The fact that he had the longevity of the full season is really what did it for me. He's an All-Star, which was great. And he said 41 games for a trade to Boston. Nice numbers, better numbers, but we're going with All-Star Wally Zerbiak. But in the 116 match,
yes,
in a landslide, just like the United States versus Tunisia today, we are going KG,
hey,
MVP, beating Wally Zerbiak, the All-Star.
KG, MVP season moves on. Wally Zerbiak, both seasons eliminated. The 8-9 matchup pits, not surprisingly, Kevin Garnett versus Kevin Garnett. 04-05 season of KG, 22-13, 5.5 assists, 1.5 steals, 1.5 blocks, 50% from the field. The reason this drops Brett Cloutier is because I took a lot of consideration into the success of the team in that season. Now, that 04-05 season was the season right after we went to the Western Conference Finals, lost to the Lakers. Kareem Rush shot, made 6 threes and shot us right out of the playoffs in our best chance to win a title in the 23-year history of the franchise. That drops, although those numbers are nearly as good as his MVP season, that drops because they did not make the playoffs that year, went 44-38. It was the infamous, we're coming, after there were about 5 or 6 games left and we were 3 games out of that 8th seed. We did not come far enough, and don't quote me on that, and we just fell barely short. Number 9 seed is KG in the 2000 and 2001 season, 22-11-5, 1.6 blocks. That team did make the playoffs in that run of 8 years in a row where they did make it at 47-35. A tight matchup, and keep in mind, we're taking into consideration, and you can do this or not do this if you want, Brett Cloutier, the record and the success of the team. Number 9 seed made the playoffs, number 8 did not. Number 8 seed stats are better. Who you got?
I'm going with, we did not make the playoffs because, aside from what happened on the basketball court, he gave the best, or my favorite, K-Fan liner of all time, we coming. That wins the 8-9 matchup for me.
Wow, giving it to the 8. 8 seed moves on.
I'm going to the soundbite.
8 seed moves on. And the 4-13 matchup, I struggled, by the way, to put together this bracket. I didn't print one out. I just wrote it.
This four seed needs to be Wes Johnson's 2012 Summer League, right?
Hey, he was 6th in the league in scoring. What do you want from him?
There it is. Where is he? Is he the 4 seed? Fingers crossed.
KG is another bid in this tournament. 23-11.5 boards, 5 assists, a steal and a half, a block and a half. This team was 50-32. I forgot to write down what year it was. I believe it was 2001 to 2002. And he got the 4 seed, 50-32. They made the playoffs. Number 13, your guy, Tom Gugliotta. 1996 through 97 season, dropped 20 a game, grabbed 9 boards. He averaged an outrageous 3.8 steals a game. I never knew he was that good of a defender. The team went 40-42, but in the weaker Western Conference that year, did make the playoffs. Tom Gugliotta was the man that year. KG only averaged 18 points a game while grabbing 8 boards. KG, Tom G, who you got?
Put your seatbelt on this, Michael. I'm going with the 13.
Yes.
Tom Gugliotta,
yes. I like it.
First ever playoff appearance, correct?
Huge.
First ever playoff appearance.
Huge.
That revolutionized this franchise for the many, many great years, and then followed by many horrible years, and now the lefty sped years to come.
You know how we love 13-4 upsets, but I just don't think that Indiana, after beating the number one and two teams in the country, I just think they won 5 of the last 6. I just think they're way too streaky. I am taking the New Mexico State. I don't know what their mascot is. They're second in the WAC tournament. Wendell McInnis 19-10.
Hamidou Ramon, 6'11", 245. They've got size. Both of them are seniors. 11th in the nation in points per game is New Mexico State. 6th in rebounding. You don't find that in a mid-major. They haven't beaten anyone, Brett, unfortunately.
Still haven't beaten anyone.
I think Indiana, having lost to Nebraska, the U of M, and Iowa this year, is too up and down for me. I'm taking an upset, 13-4, New Mexico State.
Wow. Well, hopefully this 13 will do better than the 13 that we picked, Brett. Sam Cassell is your fifth seed, Brett Cloutier, and maybe one of those where some of the people on the selection committee would be like, wow, why? How did they end up five? The fans would like to say, how is Sam Cassell five? Well, he was the Bonnie to the Clyde, the Batman to the Robin, the Cassell to the Garnett. 0-3-0-4, the Western Conference run. 20 points, 7 assists, 49% from the field, 58-24. He was the guy with the ball in his hands coming down to the end. He was
He
was the key cog, even though his back like fell apart in those playoffs. He was gutting it out. He was running back up the floor with his hands dangling real low by his knees to obviously indicate that he had a really big part of some kind of his body. And he was what got Kevin Garnett that MVP. In my estimation, Kevin Garnett had better years, but bringing in Sam Cassell and Charles Sprewell, specifically Sam Cassell, was really what put him over the top. He's going against the number 12, Al Jefferson. 07-08 season, 21-11, 1.5 blocks, 50% from the field. Here's the problem. Team went 22-60, and they were pretty much horrible for the entire time of Al Jefferson being here. Number 5 versus number 12, Sam Cassell, Al Jefferson. Who you got?
I'm going to go with the Pedro Serrano to Kevin Garnett's Jake Taylor and take Sam Cassell as the number 5 seed because of the big shot that you mentioned he had against the Sacramento Kings.
How can you not?
And because it was the most successful season in Timberwolves history, and he was that second banana that helped get us to the Western Conference Finals. Sam Cassell, 5 seed, wins this matchup.
The 1, the 8, the 13, and the 5 have moved on in the backdoor cut Wolves edition. Bring me the news.com on your section of KFAN.com. We are podcastable pretty much anywhere on the net. We'll move to the bottom half of our bracket. 1, 8, 13, and 5. We're all over the place with seeds, Brett Cloutier. The 6 is Kevin Love, 2011, 20 points, 13 boards, 40% from 3, 17 wins. The 11 seed, Kevin Garnett, 05-06, 22 points, 12 boards, 4 assists, 1.2 in both the steals and the blocks category, 53% from the field, much higher than the wins they got. They only got 33 and 49 losses that year. A couple of lovable losers in our 6-11 matchup, Brett Cloutier.
I'm going to go with Andre Kirilenko's 2012 Olympics.
Yeah!
2012 Summer League. I'm going to go with the 2010-11 Kevin Love.
Yeah.
Because it was the most infamous season in Wolves history, it led us to bring in my guy, Derek Williams, and I just think it was overall a better season. I'm going with the 6 seed Kevin Love in this matchup.
People look at the number 1 seed, Kevin Garnett, with the MVP season. They're saying, man, I wonder who 2 and 3 is. Well, the 3-14 matchup is Kevin Garnett once again. 02-03 season, 23 points, 13 boards, 5 assists, 1.5 in the steals and the blocks, 51-31, and the reason this gets more weight is because they were without Wally Szczerbiak for those 40 games that we discussed, Brett Cloutier. So, Kevin Garnett, 0-2-0-3 season, really solid stuff, and the 14 seed, probably going to get slaughtered, but this is a fun one for me, fun for all of us to look back on. The man that we got for the future Hall of Famer, Ray Allen, Stephon Marbury, the 14th seed, 97-98, 18 points a game, 9 assists a game, the most impressive stat for him, the biggest total for assists that any Minnesota Timberwolves has put up, and that was the second of the soon-to-be 9 consecutive playoff appearances. They went 45-37. KG, Steph, Starberry, the two that got along so well. I think Kevin Garnett cried, if I remember right, when he left after they traded him to the Phoenix Suns. That being said, Kevin Garnett might have to take out his old buddy, Steph, in this 3-14 matchup.
I love I think it was Scoop Magazine when they had the big cover with Kevin Garnett and Stephon Marbury that Kevin Love and Ricky Rubio imitated this past season.
Yeah.
But I got to go with Kevin Love's season. I mean, or Kevin Love, oops, Freudian stuff. Kevin Garnett's season. Stephon Marbury, good season.
Good season that year.
Got to go with Kevin Garnett in the 3 seed.
The 7 versus 10, not surprisingly, 2 KG matchups. We have a 2-15 coming up. Garnett not in either of those. The 0-1-0-2 season of KG, 21-12-5, 1.5 blocks, 47% from the field, which is why this one slipped a little bit. Team did go 50-32. KG from 06-07 is the 10 seed, 22-12, 4 assists, 1.5 blocks. Team inversed the record, 32-50. One winner, one loser, 1-7-1-10. Who's moving on?
I'm with the 7 seed. It's kind of KG's breakout season. Well, he averaged 18 points per game in the year that Tom Gugliotta had the 20-point game. This really was his breakout year as a number one player and a lead player in this league. So I'm going to 7 seed Kevin Garnett because it set the tone for the most legendary name in Timberwolves history.
The number 2 seed. Who you ask is the number 2 seed?
Leshy Spett, 2012 Olympics.
It is no one else than the man that, and this is where I'm all going with this in the end, is the second best player in the franchise's history to this point. Kevin Love's 2012 season, just last year, 26 points, 13 boards, 45% from the field, 37 from three, winner of the three-point shootout. Team obviously did go 26-40. That was only after massive injuries decimated the club, though. Looked like they might have been on pace to a playoff season. Kevin Love, number two, with his 2012 season, the 15 seed. We're going all the way back to the inaugural year of the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's Earl Campbell, Brett Cloutier, 1989-90, 23 points a game, 5-plus boards, 3 assists. Of course, the team was awful, but he was the first superstar to ever wear a Timberwolves uniform.
Well, no Christian Laettner or Isaiah Ryder on this list.
Yeah, I'll give you the throwaways in a bit.
Number 2 seed, 26-13. Wait, one more time. 26-13. Kevin Love, number 2 seed, advances.
We got the one all the way back, the second round of the Wolves bracket. We got four matchups. KG MVP season versus KG's next year. The 8th seed, 22-13, 5.5, and 1.4 in both the steals and the blocks. 03-04 KG versus 04-05 KG.
03-04 MVP, enough said. MVP.
13-5, it's Googs, your guy with the upset versus Sammy C of the 03-04 season. Gugliotta dropped 20 a game, 9 boards. Cassell, 20.7 assists. This might be the most competitive matchup yet.
I'm going to go with the Cinderella, the George Mason, the Tom Gugliotta, 13 seed. Well, him tell you the big shot, and he was the second banana to Kevin Durant. We can't forget Wally Szczerbiak. We can't forget Latrell Sprewell. We can't forget about the talent that was on that team.
Yeah.
Gary Trent. Mark Manson did a very, very solid supporting cast. Tom Gugliotta in that season laid the groundwork, laid the foundation for the run that the Timberwolves would make, making eight straight playoffs.
Yeah.
Tom Gugliotta, 13 seed, moves on.
KG and Kevin Love. Love of 2011, 20-13. Team went 17-65. KG in 02-03, 23-13. 5 assists and 1.5 steals and blocks. 50-31, and he didn't have Wally most of the time. Who's the 3 versus the 6?
Stay with me. 26-13. 26-13. Kevin Love, 2011-2012 season. Moves on.
He didn't have 26-13 in 2011, but that's okay. That was the 3-6. Are you losing track?
Oh, I'm excited. I'm too excited for the number 2.
You always do this.
Kevin Love moves on. Breakout player, elite player in the NBA. He moves on.
In the 6? Wow, that's impressive. So Kevin Love, I'm guessing, is going to face Kevin Love. 26-13, and do I even have to ask?
26-13.
Yeah, there you go.
Kevin Love moves on, number 2 seed.
So you got KG versus Googs in the top half in the final four of this Minnesota Timberwolves best individual seasons bracket. KG's MVP season versus Googs in the breakout year, the first time the Wolves went to the playoffs in 96-97. 20 points per game, 9 rebounds, or KG's outrageous best season in the history of the Wolves.
The irony is we're having the first big performance of a playoff Timberwolves team playing against the last big performance of the last playoff team, MVP, great supporting cast, but still, Kevin Garnett was the MVP of the league. He deserved it offensively, defensively, fan favorite, just the energy he brought night in and night out. Kevin Garnett, the number 1 seed, advances.
Love of 2011 versus Love of 2012 in the bottom half.
Well, it pains me to do so, but 26-13. Kevin Love, the number 2 seed, advances.
I must have ranked him right. KG MVP season at 1, Kevin Love as the 2 seed. In his 2012 season with his 26-13. Who do you got?
I remember the last time that a member of our show picked the number 2 seed to win a big tournament. I don't remember when that was. It's not coming to me.
No.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
Is it?
Help me out here.
I totally would.
What was this one?
Number 5 in the nation, Mizzou.
Yeah, Missouri.
Big 12 champs, crushing Norfolk State.
We all know how that ended.
Yeah, well, but Kevin Garnett was the MVP.
Yeah, he was.
And they made the Western yep. conference final.
That's correct.
Was within a Fred Hoiberg injury or Kareem Rush hot game of making it to the NBA finals and then would have eventually won said NBA finals.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, no.
You cannot.
Oh.
Put enough faith in Sam Cassell.
Oh.
Wally Zerbiak.
No.
Gary Trent.
No.
Mark Madsen.
No.
Latrell Sprewell.
Gary Trent.
Who is me now? 26.
No.
No. Maybe aren't
11,
progressive.
12.
We're going to move on because you're insane.
No.
We're going to move on because
you're insane. No. What are you doing?
No.
Lockout. Short season. Rubio. ACL.
He didn't even do it for 82
ACL.
Games.
Rubio. ACL.
They went 26 and 40.
2011 and 12. The best individual season in Timberwolves history.
Oh, my God.
Put on the board.
No.
You yelled at me last time I picked Chalk and it was right.
I know, that's true. Well, that now we're getting somewhere. You're realizing that you can't really win on this show, so you're going ahead and just doing the thing that didn't get you in trouble last time. Oh my God! I can't believe it. It's over. I can't believe you did it. I can't believe you picked against an MVP who took the team to the playoffs 9 years in a row for a 66 game season for a guy that is going to leave this team in a year. Here's what I was driving at. Anybody that says Kevin Love is the best player in this franchise history, look at these seasons. We got 1, 2, 3,
what?
4.
But
5, 6, 7, 8. You have 8 Kevin Garnett seasons.
Season.
8 Kevin Garnett seasons, 2 Kevin Love seasons. Everybody, everybody take it easy. Even if Kevin Love's past season was better than AFKG seasons, which it wasn't, you're an idiot. But even if it was, you have so long to go before you touch the accomplishments of Kevin Garnett. Firstly, make a damn playoff appearance.
Well, the bit was individual season.
Yeah.
You can't help that Kevin Love had a supporting cast with one good ACL by the time the season was over.
Oh, KG had nobody for half the teams that went to the playoffs.
Yeah, but Kevin Garnett's a better Timberwolves. I mean, Kevin Love's got a lot more seasons in the Target Center. Individual season, 11-12 than 03-04 Kevin Garnett. Put on the board.
It's fair to argue. I'm Mike Gallagher. That's Brett Cloutier in Brainerd on the phone. We're from 1600 Euclid Avenue Southeast. We're on Meat Sauce's page, Saturdays of Sauce, under the on-air section of KFAN.com. Right under his big face is our beautiful little play we've drawn up, the Backdoor Cut. You can also find us on the backdoorcut.podomatic.com or on Facebook, the Backdoor Cut, on KUG with Mike Gallagher and Brett Cloutier. That was, of course, before we came to KFAN.com where we got a very lucrative contract.
Contract not lucrative, nor a contract.
And Brett, where can you find us on Twitter?
You can follow Mike, my co-host, at Mike_Galley. 21 or myself at Brettcloutier, also known as at Brett Cloutier. Deuces.
That was 2 hours with you, which is probably the reason why I've had enough tonight. Timeout.
Nice play. Pushed him off the block. Stole the ball, and here he comes again. John Calipari upset on the straight down to the box area, but Royce turns to the fans, and why not? He deserves the accolades. All set up by great defense. Royce to the chin. Send it in with that motor.
Look at Edison over there with his damn electricity. Hey, Edison, how about sharing some of those light bulbs, huh?
Hey, figure it out for yourself, man.
We're freezing our asses off over here.
Hey, man, how do you think I feel? You know, you get to look at my great house. I got to look at that dark thing. Huh? Hey, what is that, a candle over there? Oh, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's a candle. We're freezing over here. We have none of them. My family's taking a bath in a month. We stink. It stinks over here, you jerk.
I can't hear you over my central.
Hey, what do you go to hell, Edison?
Hey, bite me, man. Hey, have you guys seen The Office? Oh, no. Oh, I guess you haven't because you don't have a TV.
Hey, how about I come over there and kick your ass?
Ooh, yeah, come on over.
The Philadelphia Phillies will break the single-season wins record.
Cole Hamels to be the NL Cy Young winner. My bold prediction number one.
Felix Hernandez will have a sub-2 ERA this year.
Manny Ramirez is going to win the 2012 Comeback Player of the Year.
I think the Chicago Cubs to win the NL Central.
Pish posh, Brett Cloutier. I'll do you one better. The Chicago Cubs are going to win a playoff series.
My bold prediction that Jose Bautista hits less than 20 home runs this year.
Would you like to taste my smoked meat log?
What? Okay, bye-bye.